In the nation's northwest corner is Washington, an evergreen playground.
And here he is, as he is every Friday. Our resident historian Felix Bunnell for All Over the Map, a quick look at the stories behind the names of local places. This week, the West Seattle Bridge over the Duwamish River, the one that closed earlier this week when the cracks were discovered, now that it's closed, it's officially known, and you can see this because there's a sign there, it's known as the Jeanette Williams Memorial Bridge, and Felix is going to explain to us why.
Yeah, so Jeanette Williams died back in 2008 at age 94. She was a member of the Seattle City Council from 1970 to 1989. She was a strong advocate for what they called the high-level West Seattle Bridge, and that bridge that closed down a couple days ago first opened to traffic in late 1983. So it's been there almost 40 years. Now, the need for a high-level West Seattle Bridge went back to the 1960s. It even inspired a West Seattle secession movement in early 1978 when the city wouldn't agree to build one. This is when Mayor Charles Royer was in office. Now, before that high bridge was built, the main route to West Seattle was the Spokane Street Viaduct. There were two side-by-side drawbridges built in the 1920s, total of four lanes in each direction. And early on a Sunday morning, June 11, 1978, a southbound 550-foot-long freighter called the Chavez was headed up the Duwamish River to the Kaiser Cement Plant with a load of gypsum. A Puget Sound pilot, this is a guy, a member of the group we talked about just a couple days ago, it's an 80-year-old named Rolf Nesland, was at the helm, and the Chavez hit the east side of the North Bridge. Now, it hit it hard. It was so hard, in fact, the eastern half of the drawbridge was stuck in the up position and would remain that way for a couple of years. This was when people joke, this was what they said, the day the ship hit the span.
Hit the span, yes.
I have to say that very carefully this early in the morning. Are we live? Oh, I'm just kidding.
Yes, you are.
So there's some great stories around this, of course. Nobody was hurt, but the bridge tender dialed the number for the mayor's house, and Wes Ullman picked up the phone. Only trouble was Wes Ullman had left office earlier that year, and as I mentioned, Charlie Royer was now the mayor, and what Ullman apparently said was, call the gosh darned mayor. But he didn't say gosh darned. He said something a little more vehement than that. But traffic was rerouted for a while, and with both directions crossing the Southern Bridge, but it was a huge mess. There was no pandemic underway, so it was just regular traffic. And it took a few years of legal battles between the city and the owner of the ship. City ultimately got $2 million, helped with some of the repairs. At the same time, the city and county battled over funding of the new high bridge. They finally saw the need for it since there was the low bridge didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
They ultimately hammered out a deal with most of the money coming from the federal government, thanks to good old Senator Warren Magnuson, because of Jeanette Williams' help. They also got a chunk from the Port of Seattle as well. Construction began in late 1981, and I think it was fully operational by sometime in 1984, but there were parts of it open in 1983. And then that old low-level bridge opened, they tore that down finally, both of them, the one that was damaged one and the one right next to it. And they built that beautiful swing bridge that opened in 1991. Now, the weird part about the story, Rolf Nesland met a bizarre fate.
Yes.
He retired to his Lopez Island home a few weeks after the wreck. He was last seen in 1980 when, according to his wife, Ruth Nesland, he told her he was going to visit family in his native Norway. Now, I won't get into the grisly details, but there's a meat grinder and a burn barrel involved.
Yeah, there is.
And Ruth Nesland was convicted in 1985 of murdering her husband. His body was never found, and she died in prison at Purdy in 1993 at age 73.
Yeah, it's a long and sordid history.
It is.
We just don't do well with bridges around here.
We could do a feature about bridges every week and never run out of stories.
That's right.
I'm available. I think I have been doing a lot of bridges lately.
Wait a minute. Now that you mentioned it, you're right. Sorry.
Anyway, so now you know the story behind the Jeanette Williams Memorial Bridge. Thank you, Felix.
Thanks, Dave.
All of Felix's features are at mynorthwest.com.